One of the most amazing books in all of Scripture, one of the most comprehensive books, and at the heart of the matter, it is the gospel. Welcome to Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, who returns us to Romans chapter 1. We are looking at a message called The Heart of the Matter. And as we begin our time together today, we do so with a focus on what that is, not being ashamed of the gospel. It's something Paul spoke often of. And as we'll see as we begin our time here in just a moment with Pastor Chris, it is something that he kept telling Timothy to stand strong in. Let's take a look at the heart of the matter together, shall we? Here's Pastor Chris Gordon and today's Abounding Grace.
He was constantly saying this to Timothy: do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel, O Timothy. Don't be ashamed of it. Join with me in it. Be a prisoner. We are this. This is what we do. Why would he say that? As I look at the New Testament and I think about the context in which the apostle was writing to the Romans, I believe there are three kinds of pressures that he was facing, and you'll see how much this applies to us today. First one would have been a very strong cultural one. You know how powerful Rome was? You know how many philosophers and how many wise men Rome had? And do you know what they did with their gods in Rome? I mean, you still see remnants of the statues today, don't you? You still see remnants of the former glory of Rome and the powerful statues and their reefs and their gods who were all put up to the people to bow down to. And the way that they were depicted, the glory in which they were depicted. Now think of what Paul's proclaiming. I'm declaring a crucified Savior. Everyone in Rome who heard that ridiculed it. It's madness. You don't crucify your God. And remember, this was the very thing the Jews crucified Jesus for, because they understood, made himself equal with God. They understood the claim. They knew what the Son of God meant. That was not a biological relationship. They understood that to say that made him equal with God. They branded the whole thing as atheism. All of Rome's wise men. Then you had an evangelistic kind of problem, didn't you? People weren't real satisfied with this message in Christianity itself. They really struggled with this in Christianity itself. And so they started dressing up the Christian message to not make it so offensive. Corinth really struggled with this problem. The Greeks wanted more wisdom. The Jews were always seeking for a sign. And Corinth said, let's give it to them. And so the church started caving into the oratory dramas of the day, and they started using all of those oratory dramas, and they made their speech sound very heady and very wise and very complex. All the gnosis and knowledge that was going around. In fact, it got so bad in 2 Corinthians that the apostle Paul would expose that there are these super apostles, there are these super pastors who are rising up, and they're coming as angels of light, and they're having all these people follow after them. I'm not inferior to them, says the apostle. I won't accept that. They're leading people astray. He says they are handling the word of God deceitfully. They were using it to manipulate emotions and people. And lo and behold, guess what happened? Huge cults of personality. People were following the men. And Paul comes along and to the Corinthians. It's the same culture. And he says, listen, brothers, when I came to you, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech. I didn't come with wisdom. You'll understand that if you ever read the oratory writers of the day and how they were writing for people how to speak and how to be effective in speech, it was out of hand. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. At the core of my message, this was it. This was the core of what I stayed with. I didn't get into all that other stuff purposely. And when I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my message were not with plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith may not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Do you feel the pressure there? I feel the pressure there. He's saying, this is what everyone's doing. I know they're doing it, but I'm purposely choosing not to do it. And it was sad, with all of the heady language and all of the great oratory dramas and all of the great speech, nothing was being revealed, nothing was being made clear, and it was an awful thing that Satan had done in the church. I chose not to do the whiz-bang stuff. In fact, he says in 2 Corinthians, we've renounced the hidden things of shame. And I believe it's the same thing as Romans 1, where he's saying, we have renounced that inward tendency within us, and it's in every preacher, inward tendency to be ashamed about what we do. We've renounced it. We know the pressure's there. And we refuse to use the word of God craftily. We're not going to use our own wisdom to win souls for Jesus. Evangelistic pressure. It was real. It happened. Sound familiar? It's really hard to do what we do. When down the street, and I just have to say it today, you can head off to places where you've got super hip pastors, great praise bands, great espresso bars, a whole young people's area where they don't even have to go to church, a children's play center with jumpy things. There was a church up north that was telling people to dress down when they came. They made you sign. And then they would send out flyers into the community saying, are you tired of dry, traditional, dead worship? I had this sent right to my house. Here we are, and we're doing this old thing tonight called preaching. Does it work? Who does this anymore? And we think, how in the world are our children, you know, going to stay with this when all of that is going on? I mean, it's a real pressure. It's a real pressure that parents go through. I know it. And then you got another pressure. You've got a moral pressure. For the gospel to have any meanings, what do you have to say about humans? It's not good. It's not good at all. In fact, what do you have to say about us? Listen, the first three chapters of Romans are the most difficult sections in the scriptures. It's like lifting up hell's lid. And guess what hell's lid is lifting up over? It's your heart. And Romans talks a whole lot about sin. And who's talking about sin today? Romans is going to say there's all kinds of hypocrisy in there. Everyone's guilty. No one's good. No one is righteous. Everyone's tongue is like the poison of asps. And God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And guess what? There's no difference. There's no difference. Everyone's fallen short. All of your righteousness before God and my righteousness is as a filthy garment. Now, who wants to hear that? Pressure. Pressure. Paul knows that the greatness of God's love and the greatness of God's grace is only comprehended when preaching as we should, people seeing about themselves, their own hearts, the way that God has defined it. So here we are. If God were to huddle us all up tonight and say, listen, I just want you to do what you want to do. I want you to give the message you want to give. What do you think we would come up with? Here's what we would come up with. You're all good people. God loves you all. Stop thinking negative thoughts. Be positive towards yourself. Build up your self-esteem. God is always there for you to make you happy, and it's all about you. That's what we would do. In contrast to that, Paul now explains why he's not ashamed to preach. Why? He says in verse 16, because this gospel is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Do you feel the weight of that tonight? He just gave you the single answer of God's power to save. And that's why he wants to preach. Psalm 2 this morning, men taunt God thinking they're powerful. We know what Rome used to say. Rome used to say that they had, by their great power, conquered the world. And here we are. He who is in the heavens shall laugh. Does God come down conquering in this day of laughter with the sword? He conquers with the gospel of his Son. And you see, Paul is here saying, this is the power. It is the power. It is the message that God has chosen to save people with. And that's what makes our God so overwhelming tonight in goodness and in kindness to us. He will judge the world in righteousness. We saw that this morning from Psalm 2. But right now, he has taken his great power and reigned. And you know what he's doing? Rome was destroying with the sword to obtain that power. Notice what it says. This is God's power to save. I'm not ashamed of it. I won't be ashamed of it. It's a strong word here for power. You know, we get the word dynamite from it. God has chosen this to be his power to deliver us from the misery we're in. And you know what Psalm 2 said this morning about the beautiful time of this power? It said that he would ask of the Lord, and what would happen? All the nations would be given to him as his inheritance. Did you notice that's what Paul says next? That this is God's power for both Jew first and Greek. It's that time. We're in that time. We're in the time where the sun is rising. He has asked. The nations have been given to him, and he has sent us out. And guess what he's doing? He's gathering of all tribes, tongues, peoples, and nations, Jew and Greek. And don't forget the Jews. Very important. We'll come back to that too. Paul understood and believed this was God's power. And so he says in verse 17, what makes this power so amazing is that in it, in this gospel, in this good news, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. This phrase, the righteousness of God, has been under severe attack in our day. It has been under severe attack. And there are many people who have tried to redefine this in various movements. But it's the heart of this epistle. God has revealed something. God has revealed something. He has revealed his righteousness. What is this? What is this righteousness that he has revealed? Well, since I'm still in kind of introductory section here, you understand that this was Luther's favorite verse, his big verse. Why did Martin Luther, why was it this verse that started it all for him? Luther understood the law. We looked at earlier in the Heidelberg. The law was given to show sin, wasn't it? Luther didn't have a problem seeing sin. The problem Luther had is he saw his sin all too well. And Luther struggled, and he would go, and he would try to keep God's law, and he would try to do everything right, and he just couldn't do it. And one of his mentors said to him one day, more than 1,000 times I have sworn to our holy God to live piously, and I've never kept any of my vows. Now I swear no longer, for I know that I cannot keep my solemn promises. If God will not be merciful to me for the love of Christ and grant me happy departure, I must quit this world. I will never, with the aid of all my vows and all my good works, stand before him. I must perish. And he said to Luther, look to the wounds of Christ. It is there that the grace of God will appear to you. And Luther, it wasn't until he understood Romans 1:17 that what God provides for the sinner is a righteousness that is apart from him, that he understood his freedom. In other words, it's not a righteousness I conjure up. It's not a righteousness I can do. It's not a righteousness that I can produce. It's nothing to do with me. That's the whole point of the gospel. It has nothing at all to do with me. This has everything to do with what? Luther said, when I learned how the justification of the sinner proceeds from the free mercy of our Lord through faith, then I felt born again like a new man. In very truth, this language of St. Paul was the true gate of paradise. It's a righteousness that God provides for you. It's a righteousness that God provides for you, not yours. I don't know how many times as a pastor when I think about this and when I first understood it and I teach on it, how I never get over it. And how I stand amazed at the simplicity and the simple message of this gospel, but that the Lord would announce this and want this announced to you in 2012. God saw you in your misery. God saw you struggling in all of your wickedness. God saw the torment, yes, that your sin has brought to you, that you have chosen. And instead of wrath, he came back. And he says, I'm going to give you good news. And my good news is you don't have to work for this. That from the storehouses of my own resource, if you will, from the fullness of my own good pleasure, of my own holy will, I will send down a righteousness from heaven to you that will satisfy my justice. God revealed in his word that there is a righteousness that meets all the demands of God's law. Remember, boys and girls, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. I'm going to provide that can be yours. And we work our way through Romans and we come to chapter 10 and we have it explicitly said what that is. For Christ is, what does he say? Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. That's the answer. I don't know when you first understood that, but that God would take his son, and that his son would come down here, and that he would fulfill all righteousness, saying that at his own baptism. And that he would go and that son would be pinned to a cross and the excruciating wrath of God in body and in soul would be poured out upon him. My God, why have you forsaken me? And then he would raise his son and he would announce to the world, to him who does not work, but believes upon him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted to him as righteousness. That's what Paul is saying here. It's from faith to faith. It never changes. The only way this is ever received, the only way this is ever brought to you, is by the instrument of faith. As you embrace him, as you trust him, that righteousness, he's going to say, is imputed to you. A word we should memorize. The just shall live by faith. That's our creed. That's our confession. Can you imagine the light that goes on when we finally understand that? The freedom to now, as he's going to say in Romans 6, be who we are. the freedom to now live in thankfulness because I have a righteousness that covers me. The freedom to know that in life and in death, I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. That message, beloved, is God's power to save. And I close with this. No matter how much pressure we face today to be ashamed of this, and I know it's great, no matter how much pressure we face to say something new and something better, nothing else is God's power to save. It's this message alone. And He has told us that when we preach this, when we are given to preach this in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, He saves. You know, there could have been a little one tonight who heard and he just saved. You believe that? No. Do you believe that? Do you have confidence in that? I'm not ashamed of this. I'm not ashamed of what we do. I'm not ashamed as a United Reformed Church of what we do, gathering together what seems to be old school. This is God's answer. Paul says, I want to come to Rome and I want to do this. And you know what? It's the same thing we're doing today. Kind of sad we only get 52 hours a year. Even worse would be as if we get 26 hours. Even worse would be if we avoid it altogether. Let us give ourselves to this ministry of the Spirit, not losing heart. And you will know this power that the Lord has declared. And you know what's going to happen? It's going to fill this church and our children with life. I believe that. I trust that because God has said it. This is the heart of the Christian faith. This is what we do. This is what we believe. Amen. Oh, Lord, our God, we are so grateful that you have been faithful. And that still in 2012, at this late hour, you have built this conviction in the hearts and lives of your people. And we trust you at your word. That this is your power to save those who believe. We pray for confidence in this message. We pray that we would believe this message, that we would live by faith. And that, Lord, this message from this pulpit would have a great effect in the hearts and lives of these people and in this community and beyond. Thank you for your love. For supplying a righteousness. Oh Christ, thank you. Thank you for what you've done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, we thank you for taking some of your valuable time and spending it with us here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. We do trust that our time together today has brought about some real encouragement in your walk and relationship with Christ. We'd love to hear from you. You can always reach out to us and let us know how the broadcast encourages you in Christ. Now, there are a couple of ways of reaching out to us. You can visit us online, agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Or by calling 888-504-8805. If you have questions, write them to us, questions@agradio.org. Or use your voice memo app on your smartphone or your device. Record your question, and again, mail it to us, questions@agradio.org, and we'll do our best to answer them as they come to us. Abounding Grace Radio is on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can visit our website for links to the platform that you like to follow. And if you have an interest in redirecting some of your financial resources to Abounding Grace Radio, well, we are listener-supported. You, along with others, have seen the value of this program, how it speaks into your life spiritually. So if you're someone who sees the value of this program for your growth in Christ, well, get in touch with us. As always, no gift is too small or too large. One-time gift, recurring gift, it all sustains this broadcast here on this station. You can go to agradio.org and donate online securely, or call 888-504-8805, or send your donation via mail, Abounding Grace, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Again, thank you for taking some of your valuable time and directing it our way. It's greatly appreciated, and we trust you've been encouraged in Christ. Until next time, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.